How did I get here? That's a good question. I'll begin with a little bit of history. In 2004, I was a lay person at the Seattle First Baptist Church, and one of the women there said, "They're going to hire a chaplain at Planned Parenthood. You need to go down there." I'm going like, "To do what?" I had no idea. So I went for the interview just because I was curious. I had no interest in the job. And then, lo and behold, they asked me to come and meet the five CEOs. And I thought, oh my goodness, I need to go to Macy's and buy a new jacket. So I did. And that morning, I was working, helping an autistic children's hospital with some work that they were doing for, they were having a live auction that night. And we had to move stuff from one building to the other. I was running a little bit late, so I had to drive to SeaTac for this interview. I changed clothes driving down I-5. Literally. I grabbed my coat, which was still in the bag, and went running into the hotel. Threw the bag down, put the coat on. I sat at the Inquisition, five CEOs and me, being polite with my hands in my lap. And one of them said, "Well, let me ask you this question." And she did. And so I thought, ooh, let me think about it. And they all started laughing. And I couldn't figure out until I looked down and saw that all the price tags were still in the sleeve. So I said, "Well, as you can see, I bought this jacket for this interview. If this doesn't work out, I'm going to take it back." They were desperate. They hired me on the spot. And that was in 2004. A year later, the Seattle Times came and wanted to do an interview with this unusual chaplain who is the only Planned Parenthood chaplain in the United States. So I did an interview, and it was on the front page of the Seattle Times. I was described as a distinguished gray-haired man who combed his hair. I thought, well, that's one way to be remembered. And lo and behold, someone at the Skagit Unitarian Universalist Fellowship saw it and thought, "Nah, that would be a good speaker for our church." And they called and asked if I would come and speak. And I said, "Sure." And they said, "Can you send a bio?" And I said, "Sure." Similar to what Rosemary read. 2 days later, I got a phone call. A very quiet voice said, "We're so excited that you're coming to speak, but could we ask a favor?" And I said, "Certainly. Don't talk about God." So 18 years, and I haven't talked about God. My Baptist friends are ashamed, but oh well. I come from a Baptist Methodist world because I grew up in Mississippi and Alabama. I had never heard of Unitarians until I got a call here. Now, after 18 years, I've become very familiar with you. I hope you are aware that the UUA is a worldwide organization. It's not limited to the United States. Not like Southern Baptists or American Baptists. You're worldwide. I learned some lessons. The first was when I looked into your history that the Unitarians and Universalists decided that they would combine their churches and they merged. Do you know when? 1961. while I was in high school. They never asked for my permission, so I guess it was okay. But at that particular time, you had 895 congregations and a little bit less than 150,000 members. I don't know what your numbers are now, but I think it's much more significant than that. But you are sort of the new kids on the block. Being ordained in the Southern Baptist Convention, Southern Baptists started in 1845. And they claim to have 27 million members, but that's a lie, because I'm still on the membership roll. And so are my parents, and they're both dead. But some other things I've learned. I learned from you what it means to be socially justice-oriented and focused. Having spent decades in a church that didn't get it, I was amazed when I came to Suit and saw that you got it. Not only do you get it, but you do it. I belong to the American Baptist Church now. This is the same denomination as Martin Luther King Jr. And so we are focused on some social justice issues, but it can't hold a candle to what Unitarians do. I learned really quickly this one thing from you. You practice what you preach. Unfortunately, many churches don't practice what they preach. And it's been a joy for me. When you say, everyone is welcome here, you mean it, don't you? There is a church in Bellingham. It's a Baptist church. And it has a huge sign out in front. And it says, everyone welcome here. But when they found out I was a gay person and that I worked at Planned Parenthood, I was told I wasn't welcome there. But you're not like that. It means a great deal to every individual that you can come here and be whoever you are and be accepted and welcome. When you say open and affirming, you actually mean that. When you say welcome, you mean that. I learned another lesson from the beginning. I had never heard of this before. I learned what it means to have what I call foundational members. Those are the women and men who've worked to build these churches from the ground up and have never left as long as they live. From the days when I first came here, 18 years ago, some of you have a name. Brendan Dundas, Barbara Davenport, Bethany Lynn Gillespie, Marcia, Jill, the White House family, Joy Lindbergh, who used to sit back in that corner. And I would keep my eye on her, because whenever I was speaking, she would either go. Or if she liked it. So I was always like. But it's Mike Murdoch and his mother, who used to sit where he's sitting now. And I used to torture her. It was lots of fun. Iola, Claire, is my guardian angel. Sally, Doreen, Rosemary. Who considers it her responsibility to torture me. But that's okay, I've got broad shoulders and a big belly as well. Dave and Pat Young, a lot of, so many of you are foundational members. It's what this church is built on. Me, I'm deciding. I'm not the foundation. And this church owes its existence to these foundational members. I learned also new ways to do church services with instructions from Sally and Rosemary. And when I say instruction, that's a kind word of saying orders. So even to this day at my church in Issaquah, I've taken Sally seriously, and I do it exactly like she taught me to do. Lesson I learned early on, and I've continued to learn as I've visited here many times, is this. You have left a mark on me. You've left a mark on the lives of many people. I'm just one of many. I'm hopefully a better person or simply having known you and been a part of this fellowship and have been welcomed in that door. I love the sign on the door, by the way. If the doorbell doesn't ring, you have to mush it 10 times and pray, and if it doesn't, then you call Claire in the office. But if I were to use Baptist terminology, I would say, you all are a tremendous blessing to me, to others, and I'm enormously grateful to each of you. Now, unlike the Sherman children and the Inconic children and adults, they pay me not to sing. But I like music. And so I'd like to share words only with you. This is from a musical called Wicked. And when I looked for, sorry if I start crying, I'll blame it on a runny nose. When I was looking for something that I could give you as a thank you, the words to this song sum it up for me. It's called For Good, and it goes like this. I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn. And we are led to those who help us most to grow if we let them. When you help them in return. But I don't know if I believe that's true. But I know I'm who I am today because I knew you. You can say if I've been changed for the better, you can say. But because I knew you, I have been changed for good. It may well be that we will never meet again in this lifetime. So let me say before we part, so much of me is made of what I learned from you. Would be with me like a handprint on my heart. And now, whatever way our stories end, I know you have rewritten mine by being my friend. Who can say if I've been changed for the better? But because I knew you, I do believe I have been changed for the better. And because I knew you, I have been changed for good. Would you join me for just a moment of silence and meditation? Transition is difficult for us, moving from one place to another, one era of life to another. But this is the way we live our lives. And now, as I stand here before these wonderful people who have influenced me and changed my life, I trust that each of you in some way can sense how much I appreciate you, how much I have loved you, how much I will cherish every moment, memory I've ever had here. May that be so. We're going to stand and sing another song. I forget the name of it, standing if you're able. And it is called Life is the Greatest Gift of All. It's number 331 in the big book.
You finished real early today.
I know. I didn't have much to say because I would be crying.